Good morning. Or afternoon, I'm sorry. Good afternoon, good afternoon. How's everybody? Well, I've been with you already, so it's been a joyous morning for me to be with you, rejoicing in the Lord. When? Come on, are you with me? Rejoicing in the Lord when?
Always,
that's right. And not just when things are fun and pleasing and happy and everything's peachy, but we rejoice in the Lord all the time. The Lord always gives us His grace and His blessings, right? Right, and so, Lord, give us Your joy. Give us Your joy. So, those of you who are praying for me and what the Lord is doing right now, in Westlake, we're going through the Gospel of John. And basically, it's a whole year projection. We're starting today, chapter 7, back home. And it's been a real blessing. I feel like the Lord's really bringing growth to the local body through that. And May 15th, we're going to have some baptisms. And so you want to pray for that. Two of the brothers are going to share their testimonies, how the Lord saved them. And both of them were saved from terrible backgrounds. One of them was in drugs and drinking. And the other one was in all kinds of other issues. And the Lord graciously saved them, and they're going to share how the Lord saved them. In that meeting, we're going to have quite a bit of non-believers. So do join us in prayer for that the Lord would work and would do a mighty work amongst us. Okay? So, there's other things, but I don't want to bore you with details. All right, now, in our first meeting, we were talking about what? Who was here? What were we talking about in our first meeting?
Unity.
The unity, right? A united church. And that's exactly what God wants, for the body to be united. When you have a body, like this physical body, that everything is not functioning correctly, then there's a problem, right? Your body hurts. And then you go to a doctor and say, "Doctor, fix it. Something's not right." But when every part of the body is working, then you feel good, you have energy, and you're blessed, right? And so the same thing happens in the body of Christ, in this local body. When everybody is functioning with the purpose of unity, all right, because we're going to be careful, diligent to preserve the unity of the body, then there's great blessing when that's our attitude. And so pray for that. Lord, help me to have unity, to come here, to be one, to have that spirit of peace, to want to bless one another, right? Away with jealousy and all that kind of stuff. Remember what Paul said, "I can't write to you, to the Corinthian church, as a mature people, because you still have jealousy and all that kind of stuff," right? We don't want any of that. We want to bless one another. We want to be united. Our goal is not my personal ambition, but it's to be a team together to worship the Lord, right? So we want to be united in that. And we also want to be united in faith, which means in doctrine, right? Fundamental doctrine. We want to be united in prayer and in fellowship and also in method, right? We talked about how important those things were. Okay, now, that's when we're united that way, we have a healthy church. Amen? Have a healthy church. Now, we're going to focus right now on being a healthy individual. So I kind of did this. A friend of mine helped me, and especially because I know a lot of the young people are here, and I'm a visual learner, but maybe it'll stick to you. You can go home and I say, "Oh yeah, we see what a healthy person looks like." Now, within this, there's a lot more we can keep expanding, but these are just fundamentals of what a healthy Christian should look like. All right, so let's go to Ephesians and let's read the text, chapter 4. Ephesians 4. While you're doing that, I gotta get all set up over here. I'm trying to be modern these days, and sometimes it's more of a stumbling block. All right. So we are looking at a healthy Christian. So let's look at Ephesians 4, our same passage, but we're going to start with verse 13. Okay? "Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of a stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." So the goal is to have unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, and to a mature man, to become a mature, healthy Christian. And that's what this is right here. All right? as a result of being a mature, healthy Christian, we are no longer to be children. So children, I'm sure those of you who are young want to have birthdays and grow, right? So we tell our kids, we call the birthday people, told them to stop giving us birthdays. But the little ones say, no, I want my birthday, I want to grow. And that's the goal. Right? As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him, Jesus, who is the head, even Christ. All right, so let's see if I do this correctly. Boom. Why is it not working? It's that one, right? That. Yeah. Push it. Ah, doesn't want to do it. Okay, there you go. Wait, what did you do? That one. Yeah. Okay, very good. All right, so if you notice the text, it says that we have to grow, verse 15, we have to grow up in all aspects into Him, into Jesus, who is the head, even Christ. And so consequently, guess where I put Christ on this body figure here? He's the head, right? He's the head. Christ is the head. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, that every individual, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. In love. All right, so the body, the lecture here in Ephesians goes from the body, the whole group of people, to an individual healthy Christian. All right, so what marks a healthy Christian? So you're young, a lot of you, and you're growing up, and you want to know, well, what does a healthy Christian look like? Number one, you acknowledge that your Christian walk is all about Jesus Christ, and so you bow to Him every day when you get up. You acknowledge Him, Lord Jesus, You are my Savior. Today I want to serve You. What do You want me to do for You today? You take up your cross and you follow Him and you seek His will. All right, so it's amazing how many believers don't do this fundamental thing. When you get up in the morning, I've seen Christians, they get up and they go and they click on right away and they check the sports scores and they do this and that, and then they go off to work and they do their thing. And there's no starting out the day where the first thing is, You are my head, You are my Savior, I take up my cross and I follow You in full obedience. So Lord Jesus, what do You have for me today? Like, one of my prayers is, Lord, how are You going to use me? How can I serve You? Who do You want me to talk to? Who can I call? Who can I encourage? Because You are the head of the body. And a healthy Christian has the Lord as the head and acknowledges that in everyday practical living. Because you can know it in your head, but unless you're living it out every day and practicing it, it's just head knowledge. And it's got to become part of your everyday life. Now, so are you bowing to Jesus every day and saying, You are my Lord, I'm taking up my cross, I'm following You, I want to obey You, I want to do Your will. How can my body glorify You today? How can my life glorify You? How can I serve You? And so this is the what composes a healthy Christian. And then that healthy Christian, the Bible said, is growing up unto Jesus, and then He comes and He blesses the local body. Right? Because Christ is His head, He's acknowledging it, He's living it out, and then when you come to church, you're a blessing to the local body. And so here's a question then. Young people, you have to be thinking too, even though I'm young, how can I bless this local body? Where Jesus is the head, and it's all about Him. Listen, if the reason you come to church is for Jesus, then every time you leave, you're going to be blessed. Do I get an amen on that one? If Jesus is the head, and He's the focus, keep your eye on Jesus. He's the head of the church, as we read. We're going to grow up in Him. We're going to mature in Him so that the whole body functioning can grow up together in love. If He's the head, then when you come here and we talk about Jesus and your focus is Him, you never leave disappointed. All right? The reason we leave disappointed is maybe this is not true. And so, that text that we read was so clear on this that we want to grow up into the head, with Jesus is the head of the body. All right, the next thing that's important is the Word of God. Believe it or not, I've met with 4 or 5 men over the last year, and each one of them was discouraged. All right, I don't know, I'm discouraged. I don't know about, you know, serving in the church. I'm just discouraged. And so we go and we sit down to eat breakfast. And here's the fundamental question I asked each one of them. What do you think it was? What do you think it was?
Daily Bible reading.
Yeah, very simple. Have you read your Bible today? Well, I read it twice a week. Okay. See, if you're not in the Word every day, in a matter of days, you get discouraged. Or is it just me? In a matter of days, you get discouraged. You have to open the Word every day. There's no shortcuts. Oh, by the way, it's not listening to music. See, in Cleveland, we have 2 options. There's the cool station that just plays music every day. They don't give any doctor, any teacher. They just play the songs, right? And then you have the other station that's a little more boring, but they teach the Word of God. And guess what everybody wants to listen to? Just the music. But there's got to be a discipline in your life where you're opening the Word of God. And every day, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. And you won't mature as a believer until you're in the Word every day. I find that I could never grow in my Christian walk until I start reading the Bible every day. Do I get an amen to that one? Ah, you didn't convince me. You're not convinced, are you? You're not convinced. That's kind of an amen. You know what? The Lord Jesus has to be your focus every day. Lord, you saved me. I take up my cross. I'm following you. Because when I get saved, I get saved too because of you. And you're my King, you're my Lord, and I'm serving you. It's all about Jesus. And the more I read the Word, the more I love the Lord Jesus. If you don't love the Lord Jesus, you won't, the Word of God and read it, you won't love the Lord Jesus, guaranteed. All right, so the Word of God will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Word of God. And that's, I know you've heard that before, but we need to be reminded that this is a healthy Christian. A healthy Christian has Christ as his head, acknowledges him, worships him, serves him, and is in the Word every day. Check this out. This is from Adrian Rogers. He says, imagine a conversation like this. I'm just so weak, I can hardly get out of bed. I just don't want to go to work. I'm so weak. Well, what's the matter? Have you been to a doctor? No. Do you have a disease? I don't think so. Well, what are you eating? Well, I have this restaurant. And I go to it on Sundays, sometimes if it's not raining, and I get a meal there, and that's all I eat. You mean that's all you eat? Yeah. I'm just so weak. You understand? Did you get it?
Amen.
There's no daily eating of the Word of God. Folks, I immediately stumble in sin and start having wrong thoughts and being lustful if I'm not in the Word every day. I guarantee it. I have to discipline myself. And many times I make myself do it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to come. I'm going to open up your Word. I don't even feel like it. I'm tired. But you know what? I need it so bad that I'm going to open it. I'm going to make myself do it. And every time I do it, I never regret it. Because God speaks to me. And touches my heart. You have something to say to me. And I want to be in your Word. All right? I know, fundamental stuff. But you know, it's good to hear it, isn't it? All right, the next thing. Worship. Worship. All right, and I want to quote to you what a brother wrote, Dr. Allen. Here's what he said about worship. It means to attribute worth. To attribute worth. So when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is, Lord Jesus, you are God. You're my Savior. I bow to you. You're the head of my life. I take up my cross. And here's what I want to do. I want to attribute worth to you. I want to worship you. And the more you read the Word, the more you love the Lord Jesus, and the more you worship Him. But listen to what Dr. Allen said. Worship is an active response to God whereby we declare His worth. Worship is not the casual chatter that occasionally drowns out the organ prelude. Worship is when we celebrate God by allowing the prelude to attune our hearts to the glory of God by the means of the music. Worship is not mumbling of prayers or the mouthing of hymns with little thought and less heart. When we celebrate God, we join together earnestly in prayer and intensely in song. Worship is not self-aggrandizing words or boring cliches when one is asked to give a testimony. Worship is when we celebrate God, when all of the parts of the service fit together and work to a common end. Worship is not grudging gifts or compulsory service. In other words, when the bag comes around, it's like, okay, Lord, here's your $5. That's not worship. By the way, when we give, we worship, right? So we say that's not worship. Worship is when we celebrate God, when we give Him hilariously, and we serve Him with integrity. Worship is not haphazard music done poorly, not even great music done merely as a performance. Worship is when we celebrate God, when we enjoy and participate in music to His glory. Worship is not distracted endurance of a sermon. You hear that one? Do I get an amen to that one? Amen. Oh, I got one out of it. Worship is when we celebrate God and we hear His word gladly and seek to be conformed to it more and more to the image of our Savior. Worship is not the hurried motion of a tacked-on Lord's Supper table. But when we celebrate God, worship is we celebrate God preeminently when we fellowship gratefully at a ceremonial meal that speaks so centrally of our faith in Christ, who died for us and rose again on our behalf, and who is to return for our good. And so, worship. Do you worship God every day? God, today I acknowledge that without You I would be lost in sin. I would be on my way to hell. But You are my Lord and Savior, and I acknowledge You, and I worship You, I bow to You. That is so essential to your life. Yeah, even as a little one. Even as a teenager. Are you worshiping the Lord? Do people know that you're a worshiper? All right, here's the next one. Prayer, life of prayer. I am often very lazy in prayer. I struggle with prayer like with nothing else. I don't mind reading the Word and meditating it and worshiping Him. And I don't mind acknowledging Him as my Lord and saying, Lord, I'm taking up my cross. I want to do what You want today. But then the Lord says, okay, now stop. And I want you to focus on prayer. That is difficult for me. Especially when you're wired like I am. My mind is always going off everywhere. Right? And it's like, okay, Lord, help me to concentrate and to focus. And then I get up and I start trying to pray. And I have to constantly focus again and get back on track and pray. And it's so essential. A life without prayer is a life that's out of tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to pray, not just as a body, as we talked in the earlier teaching, right? United in prayer, where we come and we cry out to God, but your own prayer. Lord, I'm seeking your will. Lord, I'm praying that You would bless my mom. Lord, I'm praying for my relatives that they would get saved. Lord, I'm praying that this person, they would repent. And you take time to pray and seek God and ask Him to work in a mighty way. Lord, I'm asking to see salvation. Open the door, Lord, so I can share the gospel with someone today. And so you pray for that. It's a life of prayer, of seeking His person, of dependence on Him. All right, so important that we have a life of prayer. And then next, witness. Sooner or later, you're going to have to share the gospel with someone. Have you done it? Sooner or later, you have to share Jesus. And sometimes the impulse is so great in me, I just start sharing. And like I said the other day, I was sharing with a lady who told me clearly, I don't want you to share that with me anymore. Because if you do, I'm going to get mad. And the Holy Spirit fell upon me so heavy, I went right up to her and I started sharing Jesus with her again. Hallelujah. And she doesn't want to look at me. She turns away. How you doing today? Mad as a hornet. But you know what? The Holy Spirit laid it on my heart. You go and you tell her the gospel again. And I couldn't help it. I just started talking. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what am I talking? And I was just saying to her. And she's just trying to avoid me everywhere she could. The Lord had it on her heart to share the gospel. Right? We have to be witnessing. Go to the neighbor. Talk to them. Give them a tract. Tell them you're praying for them. A great way to witness, go to your neighbor. How can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? There's always open doors, always opportunities. Hopefully you know your neighbors by now. Amen? so that you can pray for them and share the gospel with them, right? And they should see you going to church. When you get in the car, don't try to hide the Bible either, right? I'm going to church. You know, don't just kind of get in, right? Or just take your cell phone so they don't know that you're going to read out of the cell phone so they don't see a Bible. We have to ask the Lord to help us to become people who share the gospel. People are not going to get saved by some kind of a, you're just doing like this, and all of a sudden the Spirit's going to go speak to the person across the street, and they're going to get saved. I know God does miraculous things, and occasionally that happens, especially among the Muslims. But generally speaking, you're going to have, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. That's how it comes. You have to witness. And so here's what you need to pray. All right, Lord, please, give me the opportunity, open the door, and when it comes, may I be ready to share the gospel. A healthy Christian witnesses. You have to get to the point where you witness to someone. Right? So a healthy Christian has Christ as the head. Amen? Right? Lord, you're my head. You're the head of the church, but also the head of my life. Right? Because I want to be a healthy Christian who acknowledges you every day. I've taken up my cross. I'm following Jesus. Then you're in the Word, and the more you read the Word, the more you love the Lord Jesus. Remember what he said, I have this against you, Ephesian church, who was very well taught and very active, but you don't love me. We want to love the Lord Jesus. And that comes when the Word of God is central in our lives. And then that produces worship. And then that produces prayer. And that produces witness. You have to share with someone. Right? And so, by the way, that's why I do a tent maker job. Because I realized in my own life that I was losing contact with non-believers. So I said, I have to do something. And so now, through driving a bus, I get to share the gospel all the time. And everybody has a little box and thing, and I put little tracts in there, and I put verses sometimes for them to look at. They look at it and throw it away. That's all right. You read it, though. And you know, I mean, watch out, here comes the preacher. And they say, why are you here? I'm like, well, just to witness to you, make you irritated, right? To share the gospel with you. And now, praise God, both of the bosses are believers, and they give me full rein. Do it. You share. And then I come up to them. That lady's mad at me. And I know she is. You shared with her. Yep, I did. Keep going. That's why you're here. That's why the Lord brought you here. Amen. Amen. All right, so we have to witness. The Lord help us with this. And then there's a lot more, but I'm going to keep going with other things, but fellowship. A healthy Christian wants to be at church, wants to be with other Christians. Did you hear that? All right, let me hear an amen to that one. Amen. Woo, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. One of the fundamental things that I look for in a person, and I ask a lot of times is, do you love to go to church? Do you love to go to the potlucks? Do you love to be with a Christian? Because if you don't, there's a fundamental problem in your Christian walk. Right? Because the Spirit of God draws you to the body of Christ, to other believers, so that you can, you know, together pray for one another and share each other's experiences. And then I can't tell you how blessed I am with a Christian fellowship. And you know what happens as a result? That when you're in trouble, you call those people and they pray for you and they come and they bless you. The body of Christ has been there for me over and over again in a time of crisis. And the body of Christ was there for me when my sister passed away. And they prayed and they put their arms around me and they comforted me. And the body of Christ is there when we've had needs. When I didn't have any money. And you know, different believers blessed me that way. And the body of Christ does that. As they're obeying the head, a healthy Christian loves fellowship. Loves fellowship. So within that, as we're in the Word of God has given us wisdom, because the healthy believer who has these aspects in his life is asking the Lord for wisdom so he can know how to make correct decisions, right? How he can bless somebody. How do I raise my children? How do I treat my wife and husband? How do I bless the local body, right? And so, these are just some fundamental things that are so important that we ask the Lord to help us, that we become healthy Christians. And so in this whole concept here, Here's the thing. A healthy Christian is an attractive person. Not physically. You know, God in His wisdom made you look like you look like. And, you know, some of you look better than others and all that kind of stuff. That's just the way it is, right? God makes us look different kind of ways. We're talking about, as a healthy believer, are people attracted to you? Because if they're not, something is wrong. And as a believer, are you a healthy Christian? Because people are going to draw towards you, because they're going to feel your warmth. They're going to feel that you're connected with the head, that you're in the Word, that you worship, that you're a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, that you witness in your fellowship, and they're going to be drawn to you, and they're going to seek to be with you. Are you a warm person as a result of being a healthy Christian? Are you blessing people? Do they seek you? We want to get to the point where we become people who bless other people. What's the difference between an immature Christian and a mature Christian? An immature Christian needs people to come and visit them and pray for them and encourage them and tell them, come on, get up. Right? And a healthy Christian, and one that does the visits and tells the one that's unhealthy, come on, read your word. Come on, let's pray. Bow to Jesus. Make him your Lord. Take up your cross. And let's seek him. Let's witness and see. And that's the difference. A healthy Christian, the elders can go to and say, brother or sister, we need you to take on this responsibility of the local body and be a blessing. And the healthy Christian says, amen, I'm right here to serve. And you do it. And you're a blessing. An unhealthy Christian is grumping and grouching, and this church doesn't do this, and it doesn't do that, and you're looking for all kinds of things. That's an unhealthy believer. A healthy believer says, how am I going to bless this body so that it will glorify Christ, and so people would get saved, so there'll be a unity in the body, and that's what a healthy Christian does. So, how about it? I like this image because it kind of sticks to you, right? You're going to go home, and you're going to examine yourself, and say, okay, Lord, where am I? Am I reading as a center? Notice in the core of the body is the Word of God. That's central. Is the Word of God central to where I'm thinking biblically, and I'm being diligent to preserve the unity of the body? I'm reading in the Word, and I'm feeding so I can get wisdom. And as I'm in the Word and feeding the Word, then more and more I say, yes, Jesus, you are the head. Yes, I do want to worship you. Yes, I do want to pray to you and ask for you to work. Yes, I do want to worship and I love the fellowship of the believers. And so, do you look like this? I pray that you do, and I pray that I do. Because God wants us to grow up in Him, right? Isn't that what we read in Ephesians? To be a healthy believer. And then, everybody, notice every joint working, the body grows up in love. In love. And that's the goal. That's the goal that God has. For you to be part of a body, and that body is careful to preserve the unity of the Holy Spirit. Then you're maturing as an individual believer, and as you're part of that local church, you're blessing it and helping it to be united and to grow in love. May God help us. Father, thank you for your word. And help us to indeed be healthy Christians. I need your help, Lord, with this. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.